chapter 4, if you would please. We're back in that text as we look at this come, grow, serve. Now, working back through this a little bit, let me just say a couple of things. We had the opportunity to watch all the live stream and excellent preaching. I'm just grateful for the preaching that we heard. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving last week towards the Clarks. I appreciate your sacrificial spirit in that as well. And then Emily Shoemaker's parents are with us this morning. They're missionaries in Burkina Faso. You're like, oh, that sounds familiar. Yes, and if you want to know another connection besides Emily, Jason and Charity Rischel served their first term in Burkina Faso with the Shoemakers and then branched out into Bobo Dioulasso and all that they're doing there. So it's great to have you guys with us this morning. Oh, let's just quickly review a little bit. We talked about the grow aspect. We looked at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and looked at the various words that talked about grow, either directly says grow or increase or some of those kinds of things. We kind of explained what the growing was, both from a biblical standpoint and from a dictionary standpoint. We talked about the environment of growth, which was the local church. It's the context of Ephesians chapter 4, for sure, that we can grow up into those things. We talked about the Word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby, and talked about how that was going to be part of it as well. And then we talked about godly friends. They don't always have to just come from the local church, but many times they do come from the church environment. And we looked through those same things and looked at a number of different words, again, that either say grow or increase or whatever as we worked through that process. And then we finished with illustration about the body and the various functions and how it works together in that. So we were, as we work through this, we've given really two main thoughts. One is, in order to grow, you must make use of the things God has put in your life. So in other words, it's not going to do you any good to have the Word of God but not spend time in it, right? You're not going to grow that way. Have a local church but not spend time here. You're not going to grow that way and so forth. So you need those things. And then in order to grow as a church, we must all grow individually. So as you are growing individually, then the church will grow as well. And we don't necessarily put a huge emphasis on numbers here, but the fact is we want to see people growing. And that I believe that will result in people being added to the church as we grow and so forth, which is important for us. Now, this passage in Ephesians, I'd like for us to read it again, though we've read it a number of times over this, beginning in verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Till when? "Till we all come in the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Why? "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So there's our grow. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacteth by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love." In other words, we need each other. Every body part needs each other. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ." And then Paul goes into that three-step process of put off, renew, put on. Okay, so we've looked at this aspect as the come. We need the church. We need each other. We need those gifted men that God has given to the church, both pastor, teacher, and the evangelist. We heard from our evangelist last week, and the giftings that's there, God intended for that to be that way. And he talks about growing here, and there's a contrast, okay? There is a natural growth, which will be worldly, okay? And what do you have to do to naturally grow in the world? Absolutely nothing. Just be born, and you're going to grow into worldliness, all right? I don't have to do anything in my flower gardens to get weeds to grow. they just automatically grow, right? But if I want them out of there, I have to tend them so that the plants that I put in there will grow. By the way, my lilies right now are in full bloom. There's probably 30 blooms on there. We pulled up, it was like, they're so pretty, right? But it takes work to cultivate those things, okay, in the process. So let's look then at number three, the extension of growth. Okay, well, how do we continue to grow, if you will? And this, we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now, we'll come back to this passage in Ephesians because we're going to do some comparisons a little bit later on. But let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Basically, I love every text of Scripture. The one I'm currently studying is usually my favorite. But if somebody were to tell me you can only choose one chapter in the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1 would probably be the chapter as my favorite chapter in the Bible. Okay, so there's your trivia question, all right? Peter opens with talking about their salvation. He talks about the like precious faith in there in verse 1. And then he talks about how that we're given exceeding divine promises, basically, great and exceeding promises. And Peter lays out the beginning of this chapter. We don't have time to work through it all, but he lays out the beginning of this chapter that God has given us the ability to have the divine nature, and that because of that, we can grow. Okay, that's what he's basically saying there. And because of that, when we connect to that, he's given these exceeding great and precious promises. And then he says, and besides this, this is verse 5, and this we want to spend just a little bit of time. We don't have time to spend all that we need. Besides just giving all diligence, okay, to make every effort, to strive, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things, what things? The things he just listed. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Okay, there's the result of growth, right? This fruit that's there and used throughout Scripture. But specifically in what? Well, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing God is the critical component in growth. Okay, that is the critical component. But he that lacketh these things, in other words, you didn't add these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and don't forget this, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, you cannot grow and forget that you were even saved. And it's interesting when someone sits down in front of me and says, well, I'm doubting my salvation. Number one, I want to hear their salvation testimony, but number two, I want to talk to them about their growth. Have you been in God's Word? Are you growing? Are you adding to your faith and so forth? Because if you're not, then you can be blind. You cannot see afar off, and you'll totally forget that you were even saved. You might totally forget that a tree is a fruit-bearing tree if it never bears fruit. That's important, okay? So let's look at a couple of these things here. The extension of growth is we add. The word add means to supply or furnish. And the root word specifically has the idea, Brother Steve, you'll appreciate this, of a chorus leader. It means to lay hold of or to supply or to furnish abundantly, okay? This is the idea behind it. If you're not growing, then you cannot lead. You can't lead someone to where you've not been. That's important, okay? People who are growing will be leaders. Can't help others add to themselves what you're not adding to yourself. Jim Berg, in his book, Essential Virtues, which is about this chapter, if you've never read that book, it is a tremendous book, says this, the destiny of every believer is Christ-likeness. The enemy of Christ-likeness is sin, and the root of sin is nourished by theological error. Don't miss that, okay? So, in other words, when we get into error, sin has a place to grow. Sin doesn't grow in truth because it's constantly being combated. We talked about in our series on dealing with sin was what? We align ourselves with the truth of God's Word, because when we do, it has an opportunity to say, nope, that's a wrong thought. I can't think that way. Many of you that have been in my office for a number of reasons, I typically say to you, okay, write down the wrong thoughts that you're having. Then we'll match a Bible verse to those, and then you'll begin to memorize those Bible verses, because when you have a wrong thought, we want to match Scripture to that thought so that then we can think like God wants us to think. Do you naturally think like God wants you to think? You do not. Why? Because you're extra bad, that's why. No, because you're a sinner. So you're not going to naturally think like God wants us to think. That's why we need God's word, okay? So we add here, okay? Jim Berg continues, he believes that Peter is writing to help people to come to an intimate knowledge of Christ that will transform them into the likeness of Christ. So the more that I know him, matter of fact, there's passages in 2 Corinthians that I can't wait for us to get to, but it'll be a couple of months at least to get there. But the idea of stooping and peering into the Word of God and getting to know God, and what happens when that takes place? Well, the glory of God, the image of God is reflected in us. That's pretty amazing. By the way, just as a little side note, the closer you get to God and the more you look like God, the less you know it. So if you think you're getting godlier and godlier and godlier, you ain't. Okay? Moses didn't know his face was glowing. Somebody else had to tell him that. Okay? That's just the nature of it. Matter of fact, the closer we get to God, you know what we understand? The more sinful we are. The light exposes who we really are in the process. Okay. Let's look at the result of this. And you're like, well, wait a minute, we hadn't looked at the process yet. I know. I'm going to look at the result, then we'll come back to this, okay? So if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if they're there, you're going to abound. By the way, this is the same word that we used 2 weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. It literally means to superabound. Okay, you're going to see exponential things happening. The word barren is absent of the works that our faith should be producing in our life. So we don't have that which we should be producing. You should be able to think of a passage of Scripture immediately that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Those things are to be evident. Unfruitful is when I'm not yielding what it ought to yield, okay? Again, referring back to, I gave you 2 weeks ago, that illustration of the fruit tree in Louisiana, okay? And how the process has to go through to get fruit there. Okay, so that is, if you will, the result. Well, what is the process? Well, every time we grow or don't grow, we make choices. Peter uses the word diligence in this passage. It is a haste or an earnestness. In other words, it should have your attention. Okay, it's not spiritual growth. Doesn't come by osmosis. Okay? It doesn't come by laying your Bible under your pillow. You want to pursue it. Okay? And you're like, well, wait a minute. What about God working in me? We'll get to that. It's a double-edged sword. God's going to work, but we also have things that we want to do in the process. Okay? Matter of fact, let's look at that now. Human effort is indispensable, even though it is inadequate. Can I say that again? Human effort is indispensable, but it's inadequate. You're like, well, what do you mean? Well, it's not just us conjuring up what we need to do. Because without God, we can do nothing. But it's also important that we do what we're supposed to do. Okay? So, again, some illustrations here. This week, I planted multiple things in my mom's yard. Okay, she loves outdoors like I do, and so I said, Mama, what can I do for you this week? And she said, well, I'd really love that plant moved to there, and I'd love this oak tree, just in case you're wondering, it's only about this tall. It's not oak tree. That's coming up in my rose garden. I'd love for it to be planted there, and I'd love for these plants that are just in a wagon to be planted here, right? Well, all of that took effort. Usually I did that about 7 o'clock in the morning, because by 7:30 in the morning, you're dying. At that point, right? Matter of fact, one morning, I think it was 8 or 8:30, the heat index was 101. So I put the effort in to plant these things. I put the effort in to water them. I watered the oak tree every morning for 20 to 30 minutes, okay, in the process. But ultimately, I can't make it grow. God's going to have to do that, or it's not going to grow, right? That's important for us. We need the right biblical balance between God's contributions and our own in the process of becoming holy. The New Testament makes this crystal clear that both are necessary. Let me give you a passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he's not saying work for your salvation. It's work out your salvation. In other words, let people see that God has changed your life. Work it out. The very next verse, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you're like, wait a minute, Pastor. Which one is it? Yes. You're going to do your part. God's going to come along and do his part. If you think, well, let me just sit in my chair and do nothing and God will transform me, you're wrong. But if you think that I'm going to work and I'm going to be transformed, you're also wrong. You do what you can do and let God do the transforming. We need both of them. And again, we go back to this idea of plants and what happens, right? We water, I pull weeds, I put them in the right soil, I do those things, but ultimately it's God that's going to give the increase. I can't make them produce, okay? Now, let's just quickly work through this. Again, this is a huge study. We could spend entire messages on each word, let alone each passage. But virtue is a moral excellence. It's essential to practice your faith. It is a conscious choice to live a holy life. That's really what virtue is, okay? Now, I think it's really interesting that Peter lists virtue before knowledge. Many times when people are discipled, we give them knowledge before they actually choose to obey. If you're not going to obey, it doesn't do me any good to give you the knowledge. So I first make a decision. Okay, God, whatever it is you reveal to me, that's what I want you to do. And when we do that, then God begins to reveal what his obedience looks like. Now, I'm not trying to trap you this morning, but how many of you in this room know more about God and his word than you did 30 years ago? Anybody in this room? Okay. It should be all of us. Now, the fact is, if God had revealed some things that I know today when I was 18, it has scared me to death. And I wasn't ready for it. But God knew exactly when I would be ready for it in the growth process, okay? Our excellence is related directly to how well we are fulfilling God's purpose for us. You can be excellent being a housewife, a mother, if that's what God's called you to do. You can be excellent working in a factory. You can be excellent at all kinds of things. If that is what God has called you to do, be there and do exactly what God wants you to do. See, part of our growth is seeking what God has for us and do it. There is, I want you to hear me, and I've said this before, but I mean this with all my heart. There is no more glory in me pastoring Emmanuel Baptist Church than it is for Doug to work at Walmart. Okay, I'm going to say that again. There is no more glory for me to pastor Emmanuel Baptist Church than it is for Doug to work at Walmart. Amen. That's true. Or Phil to work in his factory. I could go around the room to you men that work. Why? If you're in the center of God's will, doing what God wants you to do, that is exactly where you're supposed to be, and you're just as obedient as I am. That's what God's word says. That's abundantly clear, by the way, in the process. Can I ask you this? Who's telling you what to do today? Who has your heart? Ken Collier years ago said, every morning when you wake up, you raise a flag of allegiance over the castle of your heart. Who's in control today? Knowledge, knowing more about God and what he requires of us. Peter says later in this book, but grow in knowledge. Temperance, self-control, to master your desires and passions. Patience, a steadfastness and endurance. It's to bear up under. It's a loyalty to what is right. By the way, I don't remember if I asked publicly in the church or the men's Sunday school class to pray for my brother who has had a mess of a thing at his job. And basically, his boss has wanted him to do illegal things. And my brother's just tenaciously said, I will not violate my conscience nor go against what God has told me to do. Well, it's interesting. Last week, that boss was let go. My brother has a brand new boss. All of those things, God has just worked that out. And I'm grateful. My brother said, I am not going to cheat customers. That's not going to happen. on my watch, and I'm grateful for that, okay? So bearing up underneath those things. Loyalty to what is right, godliness, a reverence or respect towards God's holiness. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brotherly kindness, a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Charity means to love dearly, that agape type of love. Okay, I need some men, okay? Everybody needs one of these, so if men can come and hand these out for me, several of you, that'd be awesome. They're coming this way. Just split those up between a bunch of you. One per couple or one for each person. I wanted you to see this morning because I think it's easier for you to put your eyes on it than just for me to explain it. Okay, we're going to compare Ephesians 4, 11 and following with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Now, we haven't directly gone to the Galatians 5 passage, but that's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, and so forth, okay? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at these in a chart so that you can see how they flow out, all right? I think this is how we grow spiritually. This is, if you will, discipleship, okay? So we're going to run out. We good? Everybody good? We need some more. If couples have some, Pastor Adams still have some. Anybody not have one, just raise your hand up, and if you don't have one yet, they can get them to you. So anybody else? Brother Steve, you're good? I think everybody's good. We're good, everybody? Okay, perfect. Okay. Okay, if we go back to the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, we see what I've called the five S words, okay? That is, we're saved. And he talks about that in verses 1 and following. We're surrendered. We do exactly what he wants us to do, okay, in that passage of Scripture, which I think is a tremendous opportunity for us to do that. And I'm going to flip back there just so that I can read, hold my finger in 2 Peter, okay? So what does surrendered mean? Well, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, okay? So that's surrender. The third thing is we're steadfast, all right, which is we're henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, with the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay away to deceive. We're not thrown back and forth. We're steadfast, okay? We're a servant, verse 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love. We'll come back to that as well. But we're also fitly joined together, the whole body fitly joined together in that process. And then we're speaking in love, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Okay, so those are kind of working through that passage. Look at our 2 Peter passage, and let's see the companion words. Where's our salvation? Where he says, add to your faith. He assumes that you have faith because verses 1 through 4 have faith in it. This exceeding precious faith, or like precious faith, in verse 1. The surrender is the virtue and the knowledge. In other words, I'll do what God tells me to do as I am revealed what God tells me to do. The steadfastness is the patience and the temperance that he talks back there. Okay, it's the self-control to do what's right when I don't feel like doing what's right. It's the patience. It's to bear up under these difficult things. When the wind is howling and beating against us, we're constant. Okay, we're a servant. That would be brotherly kindness. Treating others with that Philadelphia type of love, and then love in that passage of Scripture. What about the fruits of the Spirit? We see faith. Again, that the bedrock of who we are in verse 22. Gentleness or integrity is a surrender, correlating with the virtue and knowledge. The long-suffering and temperance. Again, the long-suffering is the idea of patience. Temperance, again, that's self-control. A godliness and a meekness as a relation to each other, as we interact with each other, and then love. Okay, so you see three different passages of Scripture, and all of them are deeply tied together, and they're all about how we can grow. Now, I hope this morning, those of you, particularly those of you that have been saved for a while, can take this and see specifically where you have grown. Because you should be able to do that. You should be able to say, well, in this area, and you're like, well, are they stair steps? Well, no, not necessarily, okay? I will tell you, I want to be careful how I say this. I am against the preaching that says there's a one-time surrender and that's all you ever need for the rest of your life. I don't know about you, but I found that I have to surrender an awful lot to God. Now, I want to do what God says, but when God reveals more things to me, what I figured out is, oh, Lord, I didn't realize it, but that wasn't surrendered in my life. Oh, wait a minute, Lord, that's not surrendered in my life. So I'm going back through this process every time, right? So it's not like, oh, man, I goofed up again. I wasn't steadfast this week. Well, that just means you need to grow in some areas, but you should be able to see these things played out. And directly in Scripture, when we go to the Galatians 5 passage, how do we know that we're growing in the Lord? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is. It's these things. If you don't have any of this fruit on your tree, which is you, what could we assume? Something's wrong, right? Now, maybe it's a season. We talked about that as well, right? You don't produce fruit year-round. No tree does that, okay? But is it just a season? Is it a season that I'm recuperating? Have I been pruned? What's happening? But can I look back over the last years and see fruit? If I can't, I really need to do some inspecting. I really need to say, okay, where am I as we grow? So are you adding these things to your walk with God? Are you barren or unfruitful? Have you forgotten you were even saved? Be careful. All right, number four, the evidence of growth is fruit. And we've already touched on this, but let's look at a number of things. And I'm not sure we'll get through this morning. But let me do it this way, okay? Questions that may pertain to everyone here about the chart, about what we've covered so far. Are there any questions that may help everybody in this? Because I think most of you are tracking with me, but some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate, right? Like, it's like, I don't know what that is or what's happening here with that, or is it just you're tired or whatever? Any questions? We're good? Okay, so let's look at some evidences of growth, and that's fruit. There can be many evidences of growing in living things, but one of those, and one God frequently uses, is fruit. He expects we will produce fruit in our lives. Now, that fruit, we think of fruit as an orange or an apple or whatever. It might be a flower. It may be new buds. The Hochberg family gave me 3 plants a couple of weeks ago. The girls gave it to me. And I checked on all 3 of them when I got home, and at least 2 of the 3 has brand new buds on them. In other words, they've got brand new shoots, which tells me that they've adjusted to the soil well, and they're acclimating. They're doing good. Chris watered my flowers while I was gone, though I don't think you had to water a whole lot with the amount of rain that we had this week, but I appreciate him doing that for me as well. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 says, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them." Okay, so question. Can we know whether or not you're growing by your fruits, yes or no? Yes, that's what God's word says. Can we be fruit inspectors, yes or no? We can, and we should be. In our own lives, and the people we love in their lives. Well, you're not supposed to judge me. By the way, in the context of that judging, he's not talking about not judging at all. He's talking about making sure you look at yourself before you look at others. We're absolutely supposed to be fruit inspectors. That's what we're supposed to be. So we are to be producing these things in our life. So let's look at some truths from the Bible about fruit. Okay, number one, the Bible talks about seed. A seed. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food and multiplied your seed sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness." In the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, he's talking about giving. So literally, I think in application, as we give to missionaries, we are giving seed to them, and that seed both ministers for our food and it multiplies our seed sown. Okay? This morning, I got a picture early on from Andy Monikowski. They had, I think he said 9 or 15. I can't remember. I don't have it with me. It was either 9 or 15 couples from their church gone this morning to a marriage retreat. And then there's a picture of their auditorium packed out. I don't know where they'd put these nine couples. God is doing amazing work there. And it's like that's seed being sown and it's multiplying ours. And this week, yesterday, I had a stack of missionary letters that I had not read over vacation. So I'm working through them. What God's doing over and over and over again around the world. What a wonderful blessing that is. By the way, this word increaseth is our word that we've been using all along. Philippians 4 and verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but as our fruit that may abound to your account. Again, superabound. What's the context of Philippians 4 and verse 17? Giving. Giving to others. Okay? So here's a very real sense, and I don't want to embarrass them, but there's a very real sense in which when Jeremiah preaches in a camp and a VBS, you're going to VBS next? VBS and a youth rally, like with Brother Apple in Wisconsin. When is that? Okay, July something, and then he'll be in a camp, okay? There's a sense in which everything that happens in that meeting, we get to draw fruit from. Our seed is being multiplied because we give and we support and we pray. So, do you see that? It's wonderful. So literally, the ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church this morning is worldwide. That to me is exciting, isn't it to you? There's fruit that's abounding. Number two, the Bible talks about works being fruit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. The word unfruitful, not yielding what it ought to yield again. Right? So good works are part of that as well. Number three, the Bible talks about one of the evidences of being free from sin. Romans 6 and verse 22, but now being made free from sin, you become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So as we deal with sin, the fruit is holiness. That's what is seen in our life. Number four, the Bible talks about fruit coming from our abiding in Him. John 15. We spent time in the I Am series in John 15. God's goal is fruit, okay? He wants us to bear more fruit, much fruit, and He will pick us up and wash us off, or He'll do whatever is necessary that we can. Now, we can't do it by our own. Remember, we have to stay connected to the vine. We're just the branch, but God wants that. Number five, the Bible talks about discipline being a part of the fruit-bearing process. Hebrews 12 and verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, but nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, I doubt very few of us enjoyed getting discipline by our parents or by God. But the point is, right kind of discipline administered produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. Number six, the Bible talks about our praise being fruit. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. So one of the fruits is a thankful and praiseworthy type of person. Number seven, the Bible talks about the time that it takes to bear fruit. James 5 and verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. So when we put something in the ground, it takes a long time to bear what it's doing, whether that's fruit or whatever. As we walked the property this week with my mom, she pointed out three particularly that I can think of. Three oak trees. They're probably now, I'm going to say, 25 to 30 foot high. They're providing shade on one complete side of my mom and dad's house, mama's house now. My dad planted all those as saplings. My dad did not plant them for himself, per se. Because when you plant a sapling oak tree, you're planting it for tomorrow's generation, because it takes a while for that to come to fruition, and that's important for us, okay? Number eight, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Many of these things are mirrored in our chart, right? Okay, what is that? Well, Paul has been comparing the old life to the new life. Here's the old man, here's the new man. He lists the things that make up the old man. These old life characteristics should be fading as you grow in the Spirit, and these fruit of the Spirit should be more obvious. So, from your salvation, you should be able to look at times in which the old man is falling away and the new man is being transformed. You should be able to see that. We talked quite a bit this week about family history. And the truth is, if you look at my grandparents on both sides, the predominant thought is wickedness. Of every kind you can imagine, it's there. But specifically in my grandmother on my daddy's side, the transformation when my grandmother got saved is so amazing. Like, it's a line in the sand clear. My grandfather on my mom's side, who also was very much had his wickedness in his past, he can tell you a specific time in which he believes, this is his words, that God put a hand on his shoulder and said, it's either now or never. And my grandfather said, I knew then if I didn't get saved, I'd never get saved. And he got saved, and his life drastically changed. And as a result, my life drastically changed, right? It's directly linked to that. Okay, look at those people before salvation and after salvation and look at the differences. Can you see those in your life? You're like, well, Pastor, the problem is I got saved when I was 4. Okay, were you not a sinner at 5? Because I don't know. I got some 5-year-old grandkids that are pretty big sinners still, right? I mean, we had grandkids at the house yesterday. But are you seeing that change? Can I say this lovingly and beggingly to you? If you have been quote-unquote saved for 10 or 15 or 20 years and there has been no change in your life, can I just tell you, you're probably not genuinely saved. You're like, well, how do I do? Get in the Word. Find out if it's just that you're blind and can't see afar off and forgotten that you were purged from your old sins, or is it that you're not genuinely saved, because growth should happen. And he talks about in this fruits of the Spirit, love, that agape love, the love to dearly, the joyful gladness that comes, the peace, a harmony as opposed to rage or havoc of war. The more you grow in the Spirit, the more in harmony you'll be with others you find yourself, long-suffering, a patience, an endurance, gentleness, more goodness and kindness, an uprightness of heart, faith, a conviction of a truth, meekness, a gentleness or a mildness, temperance, a self-control. Again, if we look at our chart that you have there in front of you, you can see how all of these things, though two different biblical writers, to three different groups of people, what's the Holy Spirit led them to say? Basically the same thing. Here's how we see genuine growth in our life. So is your life bearing fruit, and how? Are you planting seeds by giving, by working, by doing all of these things? Are you working for God? Are you more and more free from sin? Are you learning every day to abide in Christ? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life more than last year and the year before that and the year before that? See, growth is something God commands us to do. It's not an option for us. We are to continue to grow. You're like, well, I've been saved 50 years. You're still commanded to continue to grow. There's still things that you should be growing in and seeing God change. But growing is also up to us, and we will give an account of it when we see God. So again, us and God. God has given us His church, His Word, godly friends to assist in this process, but we have choices as well. As we come into different seasons of life, may we make sure that we are growing in Christlikeness. Are you making sure? Are you making use of the things that God has put in your life to grow you? So in order to grow as a church, we've got to grow individually. And when we do, we'll see what God is doing out there with those things. So, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We need reminders of these things. I need reminders of these things. There's really nothing I said this morning that people have not heard before. But we want to see people growing in You. And so I pray that this will help them long term. And we sure love You and thank You for Your Word. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed to Sunday school.